that old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does, it will even up the score. Don't be weak. As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in.
Don't give in.
That old wheel will roll around again.
Dad will even the score.
When love is gone, and the one you thought would stay does you wrong.
Does you wrong.
And you're left alone to pay. The price is high.
Way high.
But through Christ you'll survive. Don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Amen.
That old wheel, gonna roll around once more. When it does,
and when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Play it, Paul, for the boy.
Times hard to control, and you'll find,
and you'll find,
you'll hurt down in your soul. There'll be those who'll be glad to see you down, but don't give in.
Amen.
That old wheel will roll around again. That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does,
when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does, it will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, turn the other cheek and don't give in. Cause that old wheel will roll around again. Roll around again.
And good morning to the Remnant, and welcome to Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers. This is Radio Ranch Wrangler Richard coming to you. We are coming to you live from the Radio Ranch this June 12th, 2021. Time just flies by. Sure seems like these days are coming quicker and quicker. But we rejoice. A beautiful day today. Blue skies, green grass, and the heat of summer is on the way. That's for sure. But we welcome you here. And Paul, good morning, sir.
Good morning.
And I know we had somebody else come on, so I'm not sure who it was, but good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning, Jason. How are you?
Good.
And, Remnant, again, we said good morning to you. We have the phone lines open this morning, 307-745-5913, if you have a question or a comment. Interesting times. This Babylon that we're in, boy, it's... it just surprises you at every turn almost. But we're going to open with prayer. Jason, would you open us up in prayer, sir?
Oh, dear Heavenly Father, we ask that you lead us, guide us, and direct us this morning. We pray that you be with us, that you tend to the remnant and their needs, Father. We just come before you and we ask for your blessing upon your people across this line. And we just ask that you just guide us and direct us. Give us strength, wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. We put on the full armor of God, having done everything to stand firm. And Father, we come as your servants and just, Father, ask that you look down upon us, Father, and that you see to us that our cup runs over with blessings from your throne. In Jesus Christ's name we pray, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, again, Remnant, the phone lines are open today. 307-745-5913. lots going on. I thought it was in a kind of actually funny that Vice President Harris takes her first international trip down to Guatemala and hasn't addressed the border issue, even though she's supposedly the border czar and supposed to take care of that, or at least look into it. And even down in Guatemala, they're asking her about our border problem because they have issues with it as well. They know that the drug dealers and terrorists and people from other nations, they come through their nation, their country, to get to the border, to get to here. And it's like it's almost just ignored. You know, like who was it, Marie Antoinette, you know, that said, oh, the peasants are starving. Well, they don't have bread. Let them eat cake. And that just seems to be the attitude of, you know, of these purported leaders, that it just doesn't matter. They're doing what they want to do. I think that they think that they are beyond reproach. They think that they are beyond any type of accountability. And just the audacity, the pride, the haughtiness that they seem to exude. I don't know if that's shared by others, but it just sure seems that way.
Well, they're just plain idiots and stupid. I mean, they got no ground wire to go back to. They have no foundation, you know, and the American people actually have the government that they deserve. Sometimes I think it has to get so bad before you see it. Anybody with, you know, common sense can see, you know, this is why Trump had such a following. They're craving for some leadership of some sort. And, you know, they got betrayed again, whatever happened. And I don't know if we should put too much faith in Trump either, but the American people are knowing that something needs to be different. And you take her, she's down there, she's just a figurehead and stupid on top of it. Both of them are. But they're being played by somebody much bigger than them. But there's benefits to that. They're not real good in the end, but there is benefits to that party that they're playing. There's a lot of casualties, a lot of poor people, a lot of suffering people.
Yeah, there is. Yeah, the people are looking for leadership, and they're certainly not getting it. Certainly not.
Well, go to the desert. You know, if you want to know, I always told my girls, I said, you take your Bible and go to the woods if you want to know God. If you want to know people, join a church. And that's just the way it is. You got to go be still and know that I'm the Lord and get your nose in that book for yourself and quit depending on people, because they're 99.9% of them will betray you. So, prophets live alone.
Amen. Amen.
I mean, all alone. You know, we got to look at the bright side. There is some, you know, I read that COVID book, Tuck, and he's, I don't know what he knows, but he's talking about regenerative agriculture all the time and stuff like that. And there is opportunities coming out of this. I get very far into the book, but this is an opportunity because he says, like, the people, the elite, that whoever they are, have overplayed their cards. I've seen an article on the news thing, I got my phone, and the American corporations look at the people as their enemy. Now, why would they do that? Because, well, even what's going on now, people are going away from the big box stores, they're going local, they're doing stuff for themselves. There's some, you know, we don't always know, it's not going to hit the news, we don't know what's really going on. But there is a change in people. They've gone home. They've done things at home. You know, the home improvement is just doing really well, like 40% better than they expected to do. So that tells you something about the people.
Yeah, I think it's part of again, some of them, we've said it before, but part of an awakening, that they are seeing that, things are not, they're certainly not the way they were in their parents' time. And
my time.
Yeah. Yeah, no doubt. No doubt.
No. But the foundation had been taken out a long time ago. The big world players have been butchering our people in wars and stuff like that, and this has been going on for a long time. And we trust the wrong god. Uncle Sam is not a god. He's a pulse god. So I never did meet the guy.
Yeah, it's starting to, the summer farmers markets and things like that are starting to, not this Saturday, I think next Saturday, they're starting to fire up here locally. And I know in talking to a few people, they're expecting just record crowds. You know, people coming off these pandemic COVID restrictions combined with, the drive that so many have of people wanting to buy local when it comes to their food, to know where their food comes from. I think as we get into summer and then get into some to harvest for that we're going to see more and more of that all across the country.
Well, yes, you know, we were talking about the weather too. The very weather's very unpredictable. To grow a crop anywhere, I mean, it's just really, you know, it's feast or famine. You know, you're either drowning or drying out, and then it's either hot or cold, and it, you know, and within a week or two, it does both. So that's really hard to grow things under those conditions.
Oh, it is. So. It absolutely is. So, Jason, I noticed, is that record heat coming down to your area, Colorado, next week? Looks like in the 99 on Tuesday. That's a little warm for this early in the summer, isn't it?
Yeah, but they haven't been right so far on just about anything. So I think that's the one job you can have is being a meteorologist and roll a dice and be wrong 90% of the time and still keep your job.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, we've hit the mid-80s, which is warm but normal, for end of spring, beginning of summer, and but had a bit of frost walking over to the broadcast room this morning, looking in the back of the truck, still in the shade, and there's frost on a box, an old piece of cardboard, just the remnants of a little bit of a frost, and the thermometer was in the 40s. And then we're supposed to be in the 80s today and 90s next week. So it appears to, the area's in not as big of a drought as it was in, according to the reports. But like you said, Paul, strange weather. Yeah, very, very unpredictable. And it is hard to grow a crop in that, with that.
Well, the Book of Amos talks about weather, where I send rain here and I withhold it there, and you still don't turn to me. You know, he wants us to turn to him for sure. And my wife sees something on the radio. How many billions of dollars are spent on antidepressants in this country? And I'll bet I know 15 people that are on them myself. You see, the thing of it is, they're running from God. God uses depression, so you turn back to him. Well, now they give him a pill so they don't have to do that. So, pharmaceutical is very malicious, to say the least. There's nothing good about it. There's no healing in it. It's just averting the real issues. Everybody wants to get rid of the symptoms, and they don't want to look at the cause. It's the agriculture. Everything is that way.
Yes, absolutely it is. Yeah, the old saying,
God makes, Yeah. God makes us miserable, so we'll turn back to him, you know. That's where the joy is. It's only joy is through Jesus Christ. So anything that lasts, unless it's a temporary thing that, you know, unless it's why drugs and alcohol and everything is so rampant, is because they're miserable.
Yeah, that makes sense. It does. Well, Remnant, the phone lines are open this morning, 307-745-5913. The program is Coffee with the Wranglers. We're coming to you live from a beautiful sunny morning here at the Radio Ranch just outside of Laramie, Wyoming. And did I hear that we have another caller come on? Or?
Yep, it's Tim. Good morning.
Good morning, Tim.
Sorry, I'm a little late checking in. We had a great escape with some livestock, and it was kind of one of those crises to make it back.
Yeah, that's...
I don't like to hear excuses.
That's right.
I beg your pardon, Paul. What was that?
I hate to hear excuses.
Yeah. Well, I would have rather been here than doing that.
Yeah.
For sure.
You know, it's funny. That's how it is in an agricultural setting, you know, that the animals are going to get out, you know, whether it's the steers in a pen or the cattle up on the field through a fence or the chickens out of a pen, you know, it is just maybe not a daily thing, but it's part of it.
It's just one of those you look out and you go, well, they were just in a little bit ago. How'd that happen?
Yeah. So, that's right.
But anyways, I'm glad to be here. So I'll catch up on what you guys are going to join in here and listen just a little bit. So.
Well, the move away in many people's minds from this, an agricultural society, or the need for agriculture that we have here in this country. You know, they said in World War II, when the soldiers went overseas, that 60% of Americans lived in basically a rural area. You know, it was classified as rural agriculture, small towns that had their own butchers, grew their own vegetables, those type things. And if they didn't, you know, if in their small town, well, there was, you know, there was a port or a major city within 50 or 60 miles that was kind of a consolidation point. And it's just not that way anymore. You know, you talk to so many people, even I was going to say children, but it's even teens and 20 and 30 somethings that still believe that the food just comes from the grocery store. Even in the state legislatures and the national legislatures, have an article here. It talks about the list of bills introduced in the last few years that would have created severe and long-lasting damage to the agricultural industry and the rural communities that rely on agriculture is just long. The bills introduced, and a lot of it is due to the senators and the representatives who don't come from those types of backgrounds. You know, that type that don't have that type of foundation. You mentioned that, Paul, about them not knowing the need to be able to produce food in your nation.
Well, the biggest illusion that a senator or congressman lives under is that he makes law. This is where the problem is. He don't make law. He makes policy. And see, the people want it easy. So, you know, I don't know. I sweated a lot when I put that hay up in the barn in the summer, even when it's 90 degrees out, you know. And I wouldn't have traded it for nothing. Well, was I happy at the time? No, but it made me who I am. And these people, they don't make law. They have nothing to give that they didn't take from someone else. And it's communism at its core, at the core. I have never lived outside of a communist country in my life, because there's two things that are not in a free country: income tax and property tax. And they've been around before I got here. So we've been going down this hill for a while, but it is coming to a head. And that's good. There's going to be a remnant saved. And, you know, I think it says somewhere there will be so few people that a child can count them, you know, which is good.
I can remember when I was in school, and I was homeschooled, but we were talking about, we were studying economic systems, and one of the things I had back then was an interesting economics program that showed the GNP and the basic outputs as far as goods and services from every country in the world at that time. And one of the things that struck me as I went through that was the fact that every successful and productive economy in the world was largely based on agrarianism. And that as soon as they went to, they had three different types of economies. They classified them on in that information, and one was commercial, and one was service, and then one was agrarian or agricultural. And the agricultural economy is well at the top of the heap. I mean, as far as GNP, standard of living, average income for people, and everything else. And the commercial was the second, and the service-oriented was bottom of the barrel. I mean, that was as poor and as backwards as you got. And the problem is that's it equates with, or what I'm trying to equate it to, is the fact that when you do it God's way, and that's what God set us up as, was an agrarian society. That was our job. That's not all we do. There's all the other things that go along with it. But they've tried to separate it into these three separate entities instead of realizing that they have to all go together. And it's also become an amalgamated mess. You've got this centralized power. You know, they want to have a packing plant or a major electrical grid, or it's got to be this big, huge, unmanageable mammoth thing that is hard to take care of and hard to, keep up with the changing times. Whereas when we have the individual farmers that we used to have back in, before we were born, Paul, not quite, but, they were able to roll with the punches. I mean, if the weather was a certain way, or if markets changed, they were able to keep up much easier. And it didn't affect the whole queue or the whole country. I mean, as far as when they had an issue, there was a lot of flexibility and adaptability, and therefore profitability was maintained as well. And we've gotten away from that. We've gotten into corporate farming and corporate meat packing and corporate everything else. And, when that happens, it becomes ungodly by its nature. I mean, that's just the way it is, because there's no individual responsibility before God for your actions. So,
well, around here too, many people sold their farm and went to work for General Motors. You know, I was a young kid at that time when they were all leaving the farm and going to, get a job. They got it easy. But we've gone through that. But the Bible tells you not to sell your land. That's your heritage. God has been removed from our life a long time ago, because these people don't even, you take the grandparents. You think kids are messed up today. I actually think some of the kids today are coming up are better than what we've been, because
I agree.
The grandparents are screwed up. Everybody, to be a Christian, you just go to church
and
live like you want to, and that ain't it. And you talk about economy. You talk about economy, all new money that comes into a society comes from agriculture, labor, or mining. And everything that you produce is that's the profit for that year. And if you study parity that was in this country at one time, in the early 50s, my dad, he bought a tractor in 48, a car and a truck in 51 or 2, and new barn in 53. I mean, he was in making money basically all off wheat, you know, paying cash for it.
Yep.
But that was parity back then. Well, the banks were going backwards at that time, so then the banks have gotten a hold of these people. But there was no debt here. I mean, that's how they survived the Depression.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, it's a very interesting thing when we look at it. And I agree, there's been a lot of that. I to some degree, I can understand why there's some frustration with the younger people today. I mean, I certainly could see it. I can remember feeling it when I was young. You know, with some of the things that were made, it was like, why didn't somebody think about this for 5 seconds? You know, I mean, instead we have nothing, you know, and I can't get in. So, yeah, it's a rough go, and it's not what God wanted. I mean, we're kind of seeing some of the repercussions of that today. But I'm like you. I think there's a lot of things changing. There's a lot of people being called back, and there's a lot of people opening their eyes. And of course, it has to get pretty bad for some of that to happen. I mean, my thinking is always is God's got to drive them to their knees before they can rise to their feet. You know, it's one of those kind of things. So we see it going on all around us. But what an opportunity, and it's. Just every day is every day. I mean, it's, and I think there's so many. I look out and see new farming options. I look out and see, people starting, you know, new places to butcher that are privately owned. And, you know, they just, it's like, wow, this hasn't happened. I haven't seen this happen before. So there we go.
Well, and there's meat packing plants that are opening up, and there's these farm auctions, and, you know, there's been so much stuff that's been stacked against these farmers, too. It's everything from this, you know, you look at it from an environmental standard and on the equipment, you know, and this new Tier 4 garbage that they've got going on. You know, there's people that right now there's a big push, and they're getting the older equipment. They're rebuilding the older equipment. They're using it. It's more affordable. It lasts longer. It was built to last for a long time. They're doing that. People are starting to be industrious, and they're starting to use their heads. And not just follow what they were taught in agriculture college or, what they were taught in school. You know, there's a lot of people that are out there that are realizing, hey, you know, this is wrong. I had several conversations this last week with people that worked at the U.S. Department of Agriculture. And, you know, before it was, you know, it was just, oh, you do this, you do this, you do this. And now there's even people that are getting involved in the USDA that are excited about some of this stuff. They're excited about cover crops. They're excited about, you know, changing, biodiversifying fields and doing things different because, you know, they can see the, you know, the benefits of it. And, you know, I was talking with a guy from the USDA office today, and he was talking about reducing fertilizer costs and reducing and, you know, helping build carbon and saving carbon and cover cropping. And I was telling him what I was trying to do and what my long-term goal was, and he was all excited about it, you know, and he's like, you know, that's where it's at, that's where it's at, that's what we got to get to, you know, and this is somebody from the USDA. I know me and Paul have talked about it in the past, but, you know, Ray Archuleta, which is one of the guys that, you know, I follow and read a lot of stuff from, you know, and, you know, he was a 30 years in the U.S. Department of Agriculture, wasn't he, Paul? Something like that?
Yeah. Well, I'm telling you, that's pretty exciting what that USDA is coming up with. You look at all them guys and Gabe Brown Brook and other Brown, these are all USDA events that found the truth. You know, that lady that went out to Gabe Farm and said, you got to get away from commercial fertilizer. And she had no agriculture. I don't think she did, but she was not in agriculture, but she discovered how stuff worked. And she is, see, even like in another book that John Kemp wrote, he interviewed all these people too, but they put down starter pop-up fertilizer, which is phosphorus. Well, that immediately makes the rhizobia bacteria lazy because they don't have nothing to do. And there's another one that stops the nitrogen. But I've read stories where they're raising 300 bushels of corn with no supplemental nitrogen. Now, that ground is working for you, and that's what it can do with it. Our ground is, I'm telling you, I think these big farmers using Roundup ain't going to be farming much longer because that is a antibiotic. It kills the soil. It's deader than a stone. You know, I can remember as a kid, you know, that down the church, they'd have a prayer meeting for rain. Now they got Zomatic and Valley and all these big circles going around the circle, sucking the aquifer out. So the ground is not accepting the water to replenish the aquifer. I mean, and it's all going down the Mississippi River by the billions of tons of dirt. We're in deep doo-doo. You take it like Jason, Utah, you see, and I seen that too. You know, all these old professors from Michigan State are dying off, and these young ones are coming in with some enthusiasm. There is nothing like enthusiasm of youth. I mean, you do a lot of stupid things, but you got drive and stuff, and these younger kids that are taking over, they're not that smart, but they know it, but they're excited. So,
they're excited about it and they're thriving and they want to be successful. And, but they're realizing, hey, there's been a problem. There's been a problem for a long time. Let's do something different. Let's change it. Let's fix it. And they're going back to where, you know, things used to be, maybe not used to be as far as that aspect, but, you know, things that, have been around for a long time. A lot of practice is basically hard work. It's exciting. It's really exciting. I was talking with one of the guys at the USDA office, and we were talking, and I was telling him about some different stuff, and he was telling me about some different stuff, and I asked him, I said, have you read the book Dirt to Soil? And he said, no, I haven't. I've heard of it. I want to get it, but haven't read it. I said, well, I'll bring you a copy of it. You know, read it. And he's like, if you bring it to me, I'll read it. And, people, they're thirsting for knowledge, but they're seeking and they're finding answers too. And, you know, that's part of, you know, 2 Chronicles 7:14, and the land being healed too. We've been praying for it for a long time, and we're seeing it happen before our eyes, you know, in different areas.
That's right.
You know, it's not maybe necessarily exactly where, when I was asking you to answer this prayer, that's not where I expected you to answer it. I wanted you to answer it over here. Well, that's not our decision, but it is an answer to prayer, and I believe that wholeheartedly.
Well, you can bet. Dave Brown is an Israelite because it took 4 years of hail to pound it in his head.
He's a stiff-necked Israelite.
That's right. Guys, let's try the phone lines this morning. Good morning, caller. Welcome to Coffee with the Wranglers.
Yeah, this is Zach from Michigan. I was just sitting there listening to you guys, and I just kind of thought, well, I better get in on this because it's really exciting. We talk about this ag, and this is something that everybody can do. And like Paul was saying about the younger generation coming in, and I think the generation that's in charge of the land right now, they really need to understand that land belongs just as much to the younger generation as it does to them. And it's actually their responsibility to take care of it and to get that land producing, to get that 300 bushel an acre. So it's their duty to do that. And I just find that this regenerative agriculture is it's so exciting, and it gives us an answer, and it's such great news. And it just made me really excited.
I agree 100%. And that statement that you started off with, you know, this land is, we've got an obligation to give our children a better land than we've been handed off. This is a way that we can do it.
100%. And people need to think that way because, you know, it's like Gabe Brown. he's got a 200-year plan for his farm. Now, do you think Gabe Brown's actually going to see that 200-year plan follow through? No. But he's going to do his part. And I just love that man's mentality. And I wish more people, and I think more people, are going to have that mentality. Because we are only here for a little bit. And we got to do our part to make sure that our grandchildren and their children got a good place to live and have that ability to prosper. Because if you think everything that's going on, like with the government, stuff like that, it's because people are so self-centered that they don't think down the road. And they're reaping what they are sowing, whether it be political, ag, all of that. It's because they don't look down the road. And that's why it's important.
Amen. You know, that was the attitude that founded this nation. That was the attitude that the founding fathers had. You know, it was, they did this for their posterity, for their children, for their grandchildren's grandchildren. You know, where do you think Gabe Brown got that 200, that idea for a 200-year plan for his farm? You know,
because
he saw that that is what, that that's the plan that our founding fathers had, that was for that very thing, was to set up the opportunity, not to give it to them on a silver platter, but to set up the opportunity that, you know, through adhering to these standards and that hard work, that this can come about.
For sure. So I just wanted to put in my two cents. I just really like that little bit there that you guys were talking, and I couldn't not resist to not call in. So I appreciate the time.
Anytime, Zach.
I'm glad you called in. Thanks, Zach.
All right. You guys have a great day.
Yeah, awesome.
Well, it's that simple. 307-745-5913. If you have a question or a comment. Yeah, we've got a sixth-generation rancher right here in little old Laramie that is coming against the federal government and their wanting to, the USDA wanting to forgive loans of minorities. And I don't think we've got time to get into all of it, but it just is encouraging to see that here you've got a sixth generation rancher. She's 29, and I think her husband is as well. And they've got a ranch over here. They run cattle and hay, and they're not just rolling over. You know, they're seeing this discrimination based on race, because they're white and they're being discriminated against, and they're fighting it. And it's unfortunate that, you know, that these things have to happen, but it's encouraging to see that they are, you know, that they, that again, they're not just rolling over and saying, well, that's just too bad, but they're working with the Mountain States Legal Foundation and taking on the big boys, the federal government, on this discriminatory practice of, you know, you've got about 97% of farmers and ranchers that are white. And then, but the Biden administration comes out and says, well, we're going to forgive the loans of any minority farmers and ranchers. So it again, hopefully it's a wake-up call. It's these things that have been going on for a while, but hopefully it's a wake-up call for those stiff-necked Israelites to see, hey, wait a minute. There's a problem here.
Well, you know, like old Kupfinger says, when the Saxon begins to, hey, crap, it's the fan, because they've had enough. You can put him in the corner. He's a very tolerant, very compassionate, very missionary-type person. But when he's ticked. And you ain't going to – there's nothing worse than a ticked-off person, because they can fight on adrenaline. So, and that's a wonderful thing. See, get out of them steeplehouses. Love only. Jacob, I love. Esau, I hate. It's all right to hate. Just make sure it's not a righteous indignation. It's not, you know, half-baked, you know, just because you hate black people. Well, I don't hate black people. I mean, back when I got this farm from my uncle, two black people came. They were hunting rabbits there, and they'd come, and they were the most respectful people you ever seen. Yeah, that's no matter what color, respect. I don't care. Just don't pull that race crap on me, because I'll treat you with respect. I treat my dog with respect, neighbor's dog with respect. You respect everything. You know, the highest form of government is Christian self-government. When you can regulate yourself, you don't need somebody to do it. You know, these big farms, if you took the government's support out of them, most of them would collapse. I really do.
Yes.
Because I think that's what keeps them going. So... No, it's an exciting time, really, when you get your head on straight.
Yep. Well, like Jason has said,
you know,
it's exciting to see that people are trying different things, and not just continuing on with the same old, that they're seeing that something has to change, and they're changing, and it's good.
You know, I live on the edge of what they call an area called Fruit Ridge. And all them farms up there were dairy farmers with 10 acres of orchard. Now there's not a cow up there in a solid orchard. You see, and people go where the money is temporarily. But when you're diversified, and that's the way to go, is one thing don't work, the other thing does. That's just the way nature is. But they were all diversified. And now everybody, you know, is a pro corn farmer, bean farmer, whatever it is, or apple farmer, but everything, they've divided that mentality into specialty things. And, you know, and some of them are really good at what they do, but the diversity and the stability has been removed.
Yes, agreed, wholeheartedly. Yeah. Being a farmer used to mean that you were kind of capable in a lot of different areas, you know, and you could handle it. And it, like you say, it's become just this specialized, you know, one thing, that's it.
When I was in high school, it was pretty common. You're just a dumb farmer, just a dumb farmer. My wife's cousin, they're a bunch of hicks from Cooperville or whatever, you know. But a farmer is more diverse. He can raise a family. He can do books. He can medicine cows or whatever he does, or just grow crops. I mean, you talk about a diverse person. He is about as diverse as they get. And now you got everybody a specialist. You know, you got foot specialist, and well, he can fix your foot, but you don't know anything about your heart. You know, we need physicians too that are good in the whole body thing. You know, so.
Absolutely.
Anyway, it's coming. It's coming. There's people out there. You know, the COVID book, those guys are against pharmacia forever. So there's people that know, but they don't get down the news.
Speaking of diversity, I was watching something here the other night. It was over in the UK, but it was about farms and farming, and they were at a farm sale, you know, an auction, and boy, they got some really nice equipment over there, you know. But anyways, they were the guy who the show was about. He said, "Well," and he kind of looked at the camera and he says, "Well, you know, they wanted me to present a lot more to all the diversity I possibly could in this video." And he said, "I'm looking out here at all the people out here," and I'm sure he meant racial diversity, but he said, "I'm looking out across here at all these people," and he said, "I'm pretty sure there's every age, height, and nationality of white farmer in the UK you can imagine right here." And they panned the whole crowd. They were just all, you know, and I was like, yeah, and I'm not saying other people don't farm, but there's a real calling there to God's people to do that, you know. So,
well, anyways. It's set up that way. Even in the news articles, you'll see that, you know, like 90 to 97% of the ranchers and farmers in the United States are white. That's just how it is. It's that call. You know,
well, how
even when you go to like Jason, you mentioned, They'll have farm auctions. You know, you'll have farmers that retire or pass away, and maybe the family's gone off in different directions, and they're auctioning everything off. Who goes to those? Who goes to those? The majority of them are white people, because they're working. They're looking for deals to be able to continue to work, whether it's the ranch or the farm or whatever, or something on the side.
I got an orchard man here. He's very, very successful, has more money than he should, and know what to do with it. And, he struggled. He tells me about milking cows, and he came all the way up just like I did. And I told him, and his biggest problem is in his high 70s now, what to do with it. And I says to him, I said, you know what, Kenny, you stole from your children the very thing that made you. They didn't have to struggle. And that's the very thing that made the man what he was. But I know several people like that just lived in poverty and just were driven and built some very successful businesses and stuff like that. But the thing of it is, I came up with this thing a long time ago. My job in life is to train my replacement. When you get that in your head, you look at things a whole lot different.
Amen.
These people think they're invincible, they're not going to die and all that stuff like that, but we all die. Time gets us all.
That's right.
I mean, I see these, these people, these young people that work for this, Michigan State and stuff like that, they got a whole different mentality than the ones that are retiring. And it's a good thing, because they have vision and drive, and they're willing to look at something different. The old ones were sitting wool. I mean, they're a bunch of jackasses. Those are good points.
Well, guys, let's try the phone lines again. I think we've got time for another caller. Good morning,
brothers.
Good morning,
Patrick. Oh, from Minnesota. I was listening in. You guys were talking about Gabe Brown and stuff. My brother, farm out there. Our family farm over 100 years, and he knows him, and he's a pretty good guy. And, they were out there in that area of the Dakotas. It's kind of a more of an arid climate, and they've been doing a no-till farming for years. And my sister-in-law actually works for the local, the extension service. They had a garden growing in back of their office that was a no-till garden, and they went out and they planted corn and pumpkins and, all your typical garden vegetables right into the grass. and there was the lawn, there was the lawn growing right in between all the vegetables and stuff, and it was just thriving, and they were growing potatoes on top of the ground, and they were using breaded newspaper. it was really interesting how we're always we were brought up with you plow the dirt, and then the wind comes up and blows it away and blows it into some other state. So it's really interesting how we're kind of changing some of our farming tactics. I've been reading a lot of articles online now and this and that, and it really looks promising.
That's encouraging, Patrick. It is. It's encouraging to hear it. You read about it, and maybe you hear about it, folks, on the radio or something, but it is encouraging to, when you actually can see it, when you see, and you start changing that perception. We've been sold, the farm has to look like this, and all black dirt and just these little perfect rows, and the commercial farm. That's what they do, but they're all about quantity as opposed to quality. And yep. you want the quality, it's a different ballgame.
Yep. And, you know, Brother Paul, you know, he was talking about the two black guys that were hunting rabbits. Where I work, we're a diverse company and we get a lot of, or have opportunity to work with, blacks from, or recent immigrants from Africa. And I talked to a truck driver. This was a year ago. He was actually living in North Dakota and was, picking up some stuff from our company. And he happened to have a Trump hat in his truck. And I said, "Hey, I like your hat." And I helped him with his getting a load on his truck, and we were talking, and he says, "I don't understand why people are so mad." Well, he was meaning blacks in America who've been here for, born and raised here. He says, why they're so mad. He says, "This is a great country." He says, "I'm blessed to be here. I'm an American, and he said he had been here for about 10 years and I run into, from time to time others that, how they appreciate America and all the opportunities that they have over, we have over here. And it's actually refreshing. You don't hear the hatred, against, our society, and they really appreciate being here and an opportunity to work and to work hard.
That's key to life, gratitude.
Yeah. And, my wife and I were talking yesterday and, with the things going on in the, down on the border and stuff, and, we're not, anti-immigrants. We are pro-legal immigrants. And, even the immigrants that come from South America, for instance, don't want the illegal immigration. They've worked hard. They've jumped through the legal hoops, and now they got these others coming in here and, taking our Social Security and our welfare and our health care benefits. And I just, I understand that your country is backward, change it. You're not going to change your country by running away from it. And that's the same with us. We want to change our nation here. Where are we going to go? We've gone as far, like Pastor Peter said, we have gone as far west as we can possibly go. Time to take a stand. But I see promise. I see a light at the end of the tunnel. And like you mentioned earlier that, they have, overplayed their hand. I think it's going to come and bite them in the rear. We just need to be patient.
I have no choice.
That's right. You're right, Patrick. Their house of cards is falling down. It's as simple as yep. that. And we do. We need to stay
all
the
right,
course.
Men. See you in church tomorrow, and you guys have a good day.
All right, Patrick.
God bless.
God bless. Thanks for the call.
You bet. Talk to you later.
Well, I think Patrick nailed it, that we do. We need to stay the course, make sure we do that, continue on, and have that patience, that perseverance, and contentment, and rejoice. And rejoice that God is working his plan That's for sure. That is for sure. So
you got to remember, he's preserving the wicked for the day of destruction too. They do have their purpose.
Yes.
You know, the key is not to look through our own eyes. You know, look to what's, you know, what's really going on from a biblical base point of view. You know, God's ways are not our ways, and you know, if we would do it, would really be messed up. So,
yep.
We'd overreact.
Amen. Well, guys, thanks for joining us this morning. We are all but out of time. Do want to put the invite out, folks. We invite you to come to church with us, as Patrick said, and you can do that at scripturesforamerica.org. You can click on there starting at 8:30 a.m. Mountain Time, 9:30 Central, 10:30 Eastern, and 7:30 on the West Coast. And so we do. We invite you to come to join with us, to gather with like-minded Christians in praise and worship of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, Jesus Christ. And you never know. You might hear some scripture that applies, that will encourage or exhort or reprove, maybe rebuke you. Sometimes we need that. We need that daily bread, and we need to gather when we can. So we encourage you to do that again at scripturesforamerica.org, and we'll see you there. Thanks again, men, and we'll see you in church tomorrow.
Rolling, 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 rolling,
rolling,
stay calm.
Ha! Ha! Keep rolling, 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 though this country's stolen, keep on rolling over, snake high. Fast and free together, make them health and forever, knowing the King is by our side. Those old snakes are clever, but Jesus is forever. God's waiting at the end of our ride.
Move them out, head them off, head them off. Move them out, head them off, snake high.
Ride them out, ride them more, ride them more, ride them out. Ride them out, ride them more,
snake high.
They're disapproving, keep on moving over, snake high. Don't try to understand them, just curse and stomp and strand them. Soon we'll be tanning their snake hides. My heart's calculating, our King will be waiting, be waiting at the end of our ride.
Move them out, head them off, move them out, move them out, head them off, snake high.